This edition of the Generations Radio program originally aired in 2016. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack also in studio today. A couple of homeschooling dads putting things together during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and the rise of a secularist culture that effectively rules our institutions today. And do understand that music and movies lead today, unlike any other time in human history. It was not as if music, top 40 stations, and Hollywood was leading America in 1850, or in 1750, or in 1650, or 1550, or 1450, or 1350. Well, actually, America didn't exist back in 1450, but this is the first time in human history where top 40 radio stations lead today. The pastor hardly leads. The music director leads. The music leads. The top 40 stations lead. The CCM stations lead. The pastors, the preaching, the message doesn't lead anywhere near as much as these cultural institutions lead the culture. They lead the teens. They lead the millennial generation. The teachers, the pastors, the parents do not have half the influence that Nashville and Hollywood do today. And of course, Nashville, the top 40 stations have huge impact upon the CCM producers as well. So it's effectively these massive cultural institutions that have such impact, and that's why we come back to analyzing culture again and again. That's why my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture. Today, Deadpool. I'm going to take a quick look at Deadpool and Kirk Franklin. Deadpool broke 9 box office records over the last weekend, $325 million in just a single weekend, friends. That's about 80 million people impacted by one cultural production in a single weekend. That's impressive. 60, 70, 80 million people impacted in one weekend, and this thing may go to a billion to 2 billion, which means it will impact 300, 400 million people around this country and around the world. And that's a single production. Deadpool broke 9 box office records over the last weekend. LifeSite News called the film extreme sexual perversion. The film's producer calls it pansexual. The Bible's got another term for it, giving themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. The movie winks at pedophilia per PluggedIn.com. That's the Focus on the Family movie review. Winks at pedophilia. God's name is abused. Jesus' name is abused. No surprise there. But 75 F words. And you count the F words, it implies something concerning the worldview. The F word being one of the most important manifestations of a nihilistic, self-destructive worldview. That is, when you're in the middle of suicide, you use the F word, and you use it almost constantly, and that, of course, is what our culture is doing today. Well, Bill, this reminds me a bit of 50 Shades of Grey, but bigger,
yes,
much bigger. And I think part of the reason is they've been able to marry the 50 Shades concept with the highly popular comic strip, Marvel Comics movie genre. And that the Marvel Comics movie genre is huge today. I think, 6 or 7 out of the top 10 box office blockbusters are Marvel productions or comic productions. And this one's going to be up there as well. This may hit the top 10 box office favorites.
And one reviewer said this, so this was in the National, it's a film review, said it's clever and fresh, but Deadpool's toxic juvenile comedy is not for the uninitiated. Deadpool hates its audience, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, they said. Nothing is sacred to this film, or the character, played by Ryan Reynolds, which pokes fun at supervillain, superhero movie culture, Hollywood, and even the characters themselves. And it ends by saying, in the end, it's hard to shake the feeling that they've made a movie for adolescent boys that only adults are allowed to see.
Yeah, and see, that's the insidious thing, and I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. But it seems to me that the movers and shakers, the institutional principalities and powers, will always use the Harry Potters, the X-Men, the comic strips, etc., to
push their agenda, this time being pansexuality. And the idea of pansexuality, I don't want to get into this too much, but the word pan means, I think it's everything.
Yes, it means all.
I think it's whatever.
You know, if you're pantheistic, you believe everything is God. God, you're God, the microphone's God.
So pansexuality must be like whatever, man. That's kind of scary. And friends, again, culture moving quickly from monogamy towards homosexuality, towards bestiality, towards pansexuality. This is the vision of the modern world. And that, of course, why the movie would wink at pedophilia as well. Now, should Christians watch these sorts of things? We've come back to that question several times. In the name of Christian liberty, of course, Christians want to watch everything. And people will use the excuse of Christian liberty to be sure that we don't in any way curtail their liberty. They will run into licentiousness as quickly as possible, forgetting that there are two ditches here. There's licentiousness, antinomians on the left, and then there's the abridgment of Christian liberty on the right. Two ditches, and typically, if you're in one ditch, the only other ditch you ever talk about is the other ditch. So that's what we've seen theologically in the church for many, many years. Those who hang out in the antinomian ditch are always talking about the legalist ditch. Those who hang out in the legalism ditch are always talking antinomianism. Friends, two ditches, not one. There's antinomianism and there's the abridgment of Christian liberty and legalist ditch as well. Well, whatever the case is, be sure that you're doing everything to edification, to the building up of the body of Christ, and that you're doing everything with thanksgiving in your heart, giving glory to God in everything that you're doing. If you can't stand up in the middle of that movie theater and sing to God be the glory, great things he has done, you're probably in the wrong position. And if you're not more attracted to the holiness of God than you are to the latest licentious thing that the world is selling, then friends, you're in trouble. C.H. Spurgeon had something to say on this. And I'd like to just read just a little bit from C.H. Spurgeon, who, again, in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s began to see something of this happening in England. Now, they didn't have movies then. They didn't have top 40 radio stations then. But they certainly began to see the modern world developing in the 1880s, 1890s. C.H. Spurgeon being probably one of the most important preachers, one of the most significant preachers of all time. This is what he said. If our church members fall into the habit of frequenting the theater, we shall soon have them going much further in the direction of vice, and they will lose all relish for the ways of God. If theater going becomes general among professing Christians, it would be the death of piety. Yet one finds the taste for such things increasing on every hand when behavior is growing every day more lax and licentious. Shall believers lower the standard of their lives? If they do so, their spiritual power will depart and their reason for existence will be over. If there ever could be a time when Christians might relax their rigidity, it surely is not now, when the very air is tainted with pollution and when our streets ring with the newsboys' cries vending filthy papers. It is profoundly saddening to hear how people talk about acts of sin nowadays, how young men and women without blushing talk of deeds which deprave and destroy as though they were trifles or themes for joking. It will certainly be disastrous for the Church of God if her members should become impure. In these days, we must be doubly strict, lest any loose of conduct should come in among us. Actual sin must be repressed with a strong hand, but even the appearance of evil must be avoided. My dear brethren and sisters, whatever your deficiencies, be pure in heart and lip in life. Never indulge in evil imagination or speak about things which are unclean. Let them not once be named among you as become a saint. A lascivious glance, a doubtful word, a questionable act must be strenuously avoided. Anything and everything that verges upon the unchaste must be rejected. Avoid the appearance of evil. There is no fear of that in these days. You will never go too far in holiness, nor become too like your Lord Jesus. If anybody accuses you of being too strict and precise, do not grieve, but try to deserve the charge. Well, there's just a couple of examples of what godly men would say in history about what's happening now. And would you say we may be a little further down the pike now than we were in the 1880s?
Yes. You know, it's interesting, though, that early on in church history, there were plays, morality plays, and they were done to teach those who were illiterate. So they brought in morality plays into the church. And then what happened was the plays became a little loose and a little bawdy. And so the church kicked them out of the church. And that's when theater developed. And so there was this divide between the sacred and the secular. And we always have that tension between the sacred and the secular. We think, oh, that is secular, this is sacred. And for the Christian, everything he does is sacred. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, or some translations say, your spiritual service of worship. Worship for the Christian is everything we do. And because we divorced Hollywood in this culture from the church, we divorced it from the idea that we should have dominion over it as Christians, then what should we expect except what we see now, and a pansexual hero in Deadpool?
And I'm thankful that the Kendricks brothers and others are bringing Christians into the genre. And that's all right. I think we're seeing actually a divide here. We're seeing a widening of the distribution of the offerings. Compare the offerings today in film to what happened in the 1980s. I think you're going to find a lot of better stuff today than we had in the 1980s. Yep. And worse stuff as well. It's interesting. It's a widening of the distribution of what's available out there. Whatever the case, what you're saying is, if you eat, eat to the Lord, for you give God thanks. If you do not eat to the Lord, do not eat and give God thanks. Always, whether you're watching the movie or not watching the movie, whether you're eating or not eating, the key issue is, are you giving God thanks in the theater? That's the question.
Right.
Can you stand up, raise your hands in the air, and say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. He has redeemed his people from the Egypt of their sins. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. If you can say that in the theater, after watching the movie, you're doing pretty good. Okay, be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we analyze what's happening in popular culture, which is affecting a huge percentage of our Christian young men and Christian young women. And we got to analyze these sorts of things. We're not saying that movies are malamense. We're not trying to curtail Christian liberty here. However, we're saying be discerning and do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They do exist out there, and they will acknowledge themselves to be the unfruitful works of darkness. It's just that Christians oftentimes blind themselves to that and pretend they're not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness while they're having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And one of my concerns is that the movers and shakers, the power centers in these cultural systems, are constantly using our youthful systems, our comic strips, et cetera, our boys' books and girls' books in order to put their agenda forward. And that's happened in Harry Potter when Dumbledore comes out of the closet as a homosexual. Same thing with How to Train Your Dragon, with Little Hiccup's mentor also being a homosexual. We pointed this out again and again that these power centers are doing what they can to bring back homosexuality and indoctrinate 12-year-old boys. Don't make that 9-year-old boys. Don't make that 7-year-old boys. In their agenda, their pro-homosexual agenda. This kind of thing happens all the time, friends. Why? Because it's the principalities and powers bringing about tremendous cultural change by way of their centralized, powerful cultural systems. Well, the same thing's happening with X-Men now. And this Deadpool is an example of that, in which he comes out of the closet as pansexual, which is even worse than the homosexual hero.
The creator's co-creator said, quote, "Deadpool is whatever sexual inclination his brain tells him he is in that moment, and then the moment passes." He said, "It is a bit tiring to be asked about this," he said, "but Deadpool is no sex and all sexes. He is yours and everyone else's." So he's inclusive. He's the epitome of inclusive. And those are the words of the co-creator of the character Deadpool.
This is the sexual revolution, the licentiousness of the day, completely out of Pandora's box, completely dominating our young person's systems, the comic book genre, etc. And do remember that Marvel is a fellowship of superheroes. They connect with each other. It's a tremendously powerful system that is extremely influential and attractive to hundreds of millions of kids, not just in America, but throughout the entire world. And Deadpool showed up first in X-Men Origin. And there's a connection with X-Men as well. We all knew that X-Men was just a backdoor method to sell homosexuality via the superhero comics. I think we knew that from the beginning. And was it 9 months ago when X-Men superhero Iceman came out as homosexual? And that was about 9 months ago. It was no surprise at all. Yeah, X-Men have been around for 10 or 12 years, but gotta wait for 8 or 10 or 12 years before you bring Dumbledore out as a homosexual. You've got to wait 8 or 10 or 12 years before Iceman makes it out as a homosexual. This is from the comic strip that came out, what, 8-9 months ago. Quote, "Maybe he couldn't handle being a mutant and gay in a society that had issues with both. And one is easier to put away than the other," the older Iceman says of his younger self before ultimately admitting that he is, quote unquote, full gay. So that was the quote that was brought out of the closet and made completely public, what, 9 months ago for X-Men. So we all knew. I don't think it was a surprise at all to any evangelical watching X-Men in the theater that this was the homosexual agenda. And the director of the X-Men movies, Bryan Singer, self-professed homosexual or pansexual. He's soaked in scandals, by the way, relating to underaged boys. I'm not going to get into the filth involved there. Screenwriters Dan Harris and Michael Dougherty for the X-Men movies were homosexual as well. So Ian McKellen starred as Magneto in the X-Men films. And he said Singer convinced him that mutants were comparable to homosexuals. Here's McKellen, who well-known homosexual, starred as Magneto in the X-Men films. McKellen stated, quote, "I think he expected, that is the director expected, that I was going to consider it not a posh enough job." But he revealed that he was told that X-Men is really about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. Quote, "I thought he was right." This is McKellen. "It's not just a fantasy story. It's a parable." That's McKellen speaking concerning the X-Men series. And sadly, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of nice Christian kids raised in Christian families have attended these movies and are all part of the agenda. They're being trained nicely in this area of homosexuality. And that to me, I find to be problematic, especially if they're not discerning enough to see what is happening to them in these movies as they watch these movies.
You know, it's interesting because I see a lot of confusion among youth, even among homeschool youth, about this issue of homosexuality. And it's because of the language of the culture, that has shifted from biblical definitions to secular definitions. We have separated the sacred from the secular again. This sacred-secular dichotomy exists, and now we see that very clearly in this movie Deadpool, which is written for younger kids, but prohibited, they're prohibited supposedly from seeing it because it's R-rated. And yet there's the enticing factor of that, and they are bending the rules and they are changing the language now to pansexual.
Well, I'm going to shift gears for just a moment here and move on to this new album. It's supposed to be a gospel album from Kanye West called The Life of Pablo, and Kirk Franklin has teamed up with Kanye West to produce this album. It's already gone platinum in about a week or two. This again is an example of the synthesis between the Christian and the non-Christian. And this is what marks out the apostasy of the Western world. This is how we wind up disintegrating as a Christian world. Kirk Franklin refers to Kanye West as his Christian brother and sings with him on this new album called The Life of Pablo. By the way, I did a little research on The Life of Pablo and pornography on the front cover of the album. So be careful. It's a pornographic view of a woman's body on the front cover of this gospel album. So be very, very careful. It's a gospel album with pornography on the front cover. So be cautious. Be cautious. And too many F words to count. I did just a little bit of survey on the lyrics, and it wasn't anything you really wanted to read. But gospel singer Kirk Franklin sings with Kanye West on this album. Shows up on Saturday Night Live, the two of them, Kanye West, Kirk Franklin. And Kirk is a well-known gospel singer. He may be now the grandfather of gospel music in the present day. He's had multiple number one albums in the gospel genre over 15, 20 years. He's huge. Huge. He's a leader of gospel music in the 21st century. So this is no small deal, my friends. This is huge. Kanye West and Kirk Franklin show up at Saturday Night Live. Now, just shortly before hitting the stage, Kanye makes the comment he's 50% more influential than Apostle Paul, and his little soliloquy is attended by seven F words.
Yeah, so he just goes off on the crew of Saturday Night Live. He has to be talked back on the set by Lorne Michaels, who's the executive producer. And they're just, you know, fawning over this petulant child named in an adult body named Kanye West.
And Kirk Franklin right there with him, he says, Kanye West, fella, is my brother. I'm proud to do life with him. I will prayerfully grow with him however long the race takes. I'm sorry he's not good enough, Christian enough. Who are we to pass judgment? Okay, so that's modern Christianity in a nutshell. Now, as Kanye West considers himself to be something of a competition for Jesus, he's got an album called Yeezus, in which he associates himself with the Christ and sings songs like I Am a God, Drunk and Hot Girls, Hold My Liquor, and Jesus Walks. This is intense stuff, my friends. His new album, again, a gospel album, Life of Pablo, in which he talks about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and mixes in too many F words to count. Now, again, remember, the worldview of the F word is hopelessness. I just want you to remember that. Now, so this is a diametric opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of its hope for eternal glory, all the joy and the peace and the hope that comes with Christ. The F word is a self-destructive word. It's a suicidal word that is used over and over and over again by a culture that is in the process of committing suicide. Now, as Christians, several issues here. One is that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, that's exactly what Kirk Franklin doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to reprove. He doesn't want to judge. Now, you've heard this before, haven't you? Do not judge.
Don't judge, lest you're willing to be judged by the same standard. Oops, what was that last part?
Yeah. See, the argument is this. You sin, don't you, Bill? You looked sideways at your wife last night.
I was a bit angry.
Who are you to condemn rape? Who are you, Bill, to condemn homosexuality? Who are you to condemn any sin at all?
See, that's called moral equivalency. Moral equivalency says because you are guilty of a sin, you cannot judge somebody else's sin. And the answer to that is that we all are sinners, yes. Yeah. And we're all in need of judgment. But praise God, if we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are guiltless before Him. However, that does not mean that we can't sit in judgment of actions of other people. We cannot say, here is God's word. That is the standard by which you determine what is right and what is wrong. And yes, I have been wrong. I have sinned. But that does not mean that I cannot point out sin in the culture.
And if we're to pull logs out of our own eyes,
yep,
we're also supposed to see clearly such that we can pull the logs and the specks out of the eyes of others. No. See, it's a both and. It's yeah, use the law of God to make the judgment call, to bring about the conviction, to drive to Christ. But the idea of this antinomian gospel, it pretty much abandons any notion of repentance. There's not a lot of mourning. You don't find sackcloth and ashes, no sense of loss. The fame, the pride of life just seems to pull these Christian singers into this vortex. And they're incapable of standing firm, taking the prophetic word and being the John the Baptist.
You know, Kirk Franklin released after it took him 4 years to release an album called Losing My Religion. OK, now I understand. Here's what he says. He said, quote, religion is man's systematic approach to try to keep the rules. The problem is that when man's ideology and thought process gets involved, sometimes what he does is change the rules. A lot of times the thoughts of religion are not all bibliocentric. Sometimes they're cultural. Then it becomes culture to say it's wrong to do this and it's wrong to do that. It becomes a misinterpretation of scripture. Now, that's the end of the quote. I agree with him that religion is the problem. Religion is the problem which keeps us from a relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem that he is now creating is that we can't say this is right and this is wrong according to what the Bible says. He has chucked all of the law and just wants relationship. Religion is the problem. It's man's religion. Francis Schaeffer, the grandfather, the father of modern-day worldview training, said that God is holy and God is love. And what we do is we tend to fall on one or the other. We tend to go with God's holiness or with God's love. And either one is a distortion of the character of God. It's not one or t'other, it's both and. And we can only speak truth in love by the power of the Holy Spirit who works through us. And we are never going to be able to do it perfectly. And the problem is because of his soul being bound up in legalism, he's now swinging the pendulum all the way over to license, not grace, but license.
Yeah. Well, it's at the cross where we see God's holiness represented as his son takes the brunt because of the demand of divine justice there at Calvary. And yet he did that because he loves us. What you have with Kanye West is the man in the iron cage. There's a hopelessness about a man who's using the F word 1,200 times on any given day. There's a demonic hopelessness about it. And what do you do? What do you say when you've got a demoniac out in the Gadarenes? You don't say, he's my brother. I'm proud to do life with him. I will prayerfully grow with him. That's not what Jesus said. No. Jesus cast out the demons. He calls sinners to repentance, and he doesn't capitulate to pure evil. That's the powerlessness of grace. See, that's a grace that has no power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It saves us from sin. It brings us out of the power of darkness into the power of God's light and God's grace. It enables us not just to come out from under the guilt of sin, but to come out from under the power and control of sin. It's a both and. What we have today is a gospel that is drained of grace, that has no power, that has no grace, has no repentance, and has no faith. That, my friends, is the gospel that's doing almost nothing out there. But let's get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's power unto salvation to all who believe. And you'll find that in Romans chapter 1. I'd encourage you to read all the way through Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8. Read the whole thing and you'll find the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ that indeed takes us out from under the power of sin and puts us under the power of grace. And you'll see that in Romans 5 verses 20 and 21. Well, my friends, let me encourage you also to grab a copy of my book on culture called The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture?, where we take a look at movies, music, Eastern medicine, tattoos, computer games, horror movies, fantasy, sports, superheroes, contemporary Christian music, hip-hop, Thomas Kincaid, Harry Potter, Jack Bauer, Sesame Street, and The Hunger Games. Just a couple of current topics discussed in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.